Welcome to Sacred Guidance with Stella Muse. Merging sacred sexuality, spirituality, and soul with truth, love, wisdom, and beauty. I'm your host, Elise Cole. Are you ready to come journey with me? Hi, stunning souls, and welcome to Sacred Guidance with Stella Muse. I'm your host, Elise Carr, and it's a joy to be here with you. Again, if you're coming back, thank you for sharing this journey. If it's your first time, welcome. I really trust today speaks to you, and perhaps it'll inspire you to check out some of the other episodes as well. I'm sharing today's topic with you because it's something that, yes, of course, I've personally experienced, but I have been seeing a lot more frequently in my private practice with my sacred guidance sessions. So it's something that touches all of us wherever we are around the world, and that's toxic relationships. So I wanted to speak to you today about breaking up with toxic relationships, if that's right for you, and exploring various facets or guises or ways that toxic relationships can show up in your life. And as you know, I can't share everything. We just don't have the time or the capacity, and I definitely can't make this entirely personalized to you and perhaps where you are if you are in a toxic relationship or you know someone that is. So if you are seeking more intimate, personalized, and very specialized guidance right now, then you're welcome to reach out to me at elise@stellamuse.com to explore how we can work together one-on-one, whether that's through sacred guidance or tantra sessions, to help you wherever you are in the world. So today, I want us to get real with ourselves. And part of that reality is you may not always want to admit it to yourself or another, but you are likely aware if you have been in a toxic relationship at some point along the way, be that with a romantic partner, a friend, family member, or colleague. Perhaps you're in one now. There are all different ways relationships can be toxic, be them physically, sexually, emotionally, verbally, mentally, or spiritually toxic. And often one area affects another. It's not only important to be able to acknowledge if you're experiencing or are in a toxic relationship of any kind, but equally important to be aware if you have a pattern of choosing or attracting these kind of relationships, and or if you're choosing to stay in a toxic relationship. If you are experiencing a toxic relationship, then knowing how to get the help and guidance you need to take the right action towards the outcome of the greatest good is also essential. So I've got a couple of questions here for you to sit with for a moment and ideally perhaps write them down or come back to them. Even at the end of the podcast, you can come back to these. It's something that I think is really important in understanding ourselves first. So you need to ask yourself, am I in a toxic relationship? If so, what part or how is it toxic for me? Is this a pattern of mine or is this a first encounter? Do I need guidance, help, or support? I get you to ask yourself these questions at the beginning in order to help you first and foremost be honest and truthful with yourself. Taking a good look at the relationship or relationships you are in and seeing how you are with them. Is there work that can be done? Are you the one trying to make it happen or make it work? Is it time you both sought help? Or is your highest conscious self telling you that you need to make a decision, a change, or leave? This is part of getting real with yourself and facing the reality of the situation in all its many facets. For there may or may not be other options that you need to explore. Once you have created some time and space to gain some perspective and clarity for yourself, you are then ready to look deeper at the other person and the situation as a whole. This can start with understanding that you can't change anybody else. As hard as it can be to wrap our heads around and accept this, the truth is people have to want to change and then put the work in themselves to do so, to grow, evolve, step up, show up, whatever it is, however it looks. So as much as you love someone or want so much for a relationship to work, any relationship takes two. If one is always giving and one is always receiving, there's no harmony and balance. A relationship is an exchange. It is relating to one another. Ideally, it is for both your growth as individuals and as a couple or pair to better evolve along your path as you encourage, support, nurture, love, witness, watch, listen, serve each other as individuals and as souls on a conscious path. But not all relationships look like this. In my private practice, as I mentioned, I have worked with people who have been in a romantic or professional relationship with a narcissist, with partners who are physically, mentally, or emotionally abusive, with people who are deeply betrayed by friends who they loved and trusted. I work with clients who are not seen, heard, held, or understood by their parents. Some who are abused and neglected or mistreated even as adults by their parents. There are those who are in marriages with partners who give them nothing other than financial support. Other couples where one partner has aggressive and violent outbursts at times, then are sorry and seeking to apologize in any way after to their significant other to smooth the waters and appease. Toxic relationships look different. What seems normal to one person may be hurtful, harmful, abusive, or toxic to another. You may have been there before, with a lover who verbally abused you but thought that was acceptable behavior, just arguing as couples do, as they grew up with their parents behaving the same. That scenario is actually quite common. Not normal, but common. Maybe you experienced a friend who lied and betrayed you, or only comes to you when they want something or you can help them, and then disappears again. A colleague who climbed all over you at all costs to be the one seen and recognized. A parent who has constantly put you down or who just never cares to get to know you or show you the love you've wanted your whole life. Every story is unique. Every story is painful in its own way. And every story that belongs to you likely needs to be explored, processed, healed, and supported. At times, this is best done by a trusted professional, along with your own best effort to help and support yourself too. While I can't share and dissect each individual story or case I have worked with, nor can I here give you the personalized support you may well need that only comes with one-on-one sacred guidance sessions. For now, I can, however, give you a couple of key insights to ideally help you make wiser choices for where you are right now in your relationships and where you're wanting to go. Let's start with the fact, yes, a fact, that not everyone can change. In esoteric psychology, we talk about crystallization, like a hardening that nothing can penetrate, and a hardening to such a point there is no reversing or alchemizing this person to something else. And there are two forms we can look at here. One, where nothing can make them change. And the other form, that they have no ability to change. So the first, where nothing can make them change, is a form of crystallization where for someone, things are how they are. Their view of the world is, this is how I've always been and how I'll always be, or this is who I am. I like it like this. They may even tell you so. While you're hoping, wishing, begging, or doing all in your power to help them see all of who they could be if only they'd be open and willing to change this or that, insert your high desire, not theirs. But this person is so set in their ways, they have chosen to crystallize and have no intention whatsoever to shift from where they are, even if where they are is causing harm to themselves or others. They prefer the familiarity of their suffering than the fear of the unknown change. While they have potential in your eyes, maybe you see the light in them. They just don't want to. And that want of theirs, that will, is so strong that nothing you say or do can change it. The second kind of crystallization is where they have no ability to change. The person who no matter, again, the light and potential you see in them for growth, evolution, change for the better, or even greater perspective on life, doesn't have the intellectual, mental, or emotional capacity. We all have limits in life. Sometimes people hit those early on and plateau, staying there, often content to do so. Hence, ignorance is bliss for them. While you may desire to improve, explore your inner and outer world, evolve, get better, adapt, and change with experience and time, they are happy doing what they've always done, how and when they've always done it, and it isn't going to change. Ever. In this life, it simply can't, as they can't. In relationships, this can be hard, particularly when the crystallized person can at times have a crack in their behavior and a hint of light that momentarily shines through. It feels like they've given you a crumb, like a partner or parent who never sees you or gives you the love you've hungered for years. Then in a moment, they seem to soften and open or do an act of kindness or so much as hug you with some ounce of meaning and you think, oh my gosh, finally, what I've wanted. This is possible. They can change. And then, just like that, that tiny glimmer, that crack seals up and the crumb disintegrates into thin air. As if, in a click of the fingers, they are back to that crystallized self again. For Sex and the City fans, you may recall this playing out when Mr. Big went in for heart surgery and he seemed to open his heart to love interest Carrie, then awoke the next morning, his self-absorbed and unaware self again. And again, her hopes were crushed. It's classic behavior that we see in all relationships. The key is for you to witness yourself, not just them anymore. You know they've done it more than once, perhaps. And you know the feeling of happiness or joy or elation that comes over when you think, this time it's it. At this point, in order for you to disconnect from the pain of eternally wanting and waiting for more light and crumbs of love or kindness or even acknowledgement, you instead need to identify, acknowledge, and accept that they are crystallized. This is their pattern or story that you keep buying into, wanting a different ending each time. You need to remind yourself that there is no sustaining ability for them to give you what you ultimately hunger for, be that deep intimacy, love and support, validation, friendship, or seeing you for who you really are in the world. Then the opportunity is there for you to begin to stop allowing that part of you, let's call it the inner child or hopeful friend or lover, to expect something from this person who has no capacity to give you what you need. It may sound cruel or unkind to yourself. Some people feel like, you know, they're giving up hope, if that's their word. But what is worse, eternally waiting in hope or acceptance and rising above? I have chosen the latter on more than one occasion, even though it broke my heart and took me some time to admit it was the only way forward. So yes, it will likely break your heart too. But you then need to remind yourself that that little child inside you or the eternally hopeful lover or friend cannot get the nourishment it wants or needs from this person. Can it get it elsewhere? Yes. Can you also give it the nourishment? Yes. So we're not depriving or starving that part of you entirely. We're just starving that part of you of expecting it from the wrong sources. This is a process. It will likely take some time. You may be repeatedly tested with countless crumbs, lifted up, then dropped back down each time it happens. We learn through suffering, my friend. We can thank the human condition for that. Sometimes we must suffer great pain in different ways before we finally agree to make the change within ourselves and or in our environment. But with wisdom, even of what Buddha speaks of with non-attachment and the ageless wisdom that esoteric psychology practices, we gain our strength through greater truth. By living through and experiencing, gaining knowledge and awareness, thus moving closer to our truth, even when it's painful at first. And part of the truth here is that we cannot deny the reality of someone's capacity or limitations when we have seen it and experienced it played out over and over again. All we can do is change ourselves and our experience of the situation. Sometimes that is reaching acceptance of who they are and still being in their life and them in yours. But you need to remind yourself who they are and who you choose to be, along with what you truly need and want from any given relationship. And then when that crack or crumbs appear again sometime down the track, eventually you don't react. You may not even give it any attention. For you know it is a fleeting illusion, a false truth. Other times you can't stay, accept or tolerate how things are. You know then that you must step away and remove yourself from the relationship, with healthy boundaries, healthy distance, and healthy choices being implemented, as that is what is right for your mental, emotional, and physical well-being. But you need to make that choice for yourself.
So, I've been asked, what to do if I'm in a toxic relationship?
Some people find it easier than others. Some of us can pack our bags and leave, change jobs, stop seeing people. Others stay, waiting for the crack of light to one day become as powerful and warm as the sun beaming upon us. There are relationships you feel you can't get out of. There are ones you've made excuses for and you keep making excuses for. Others you are sometimes even temporarily stuck with, such as at work, or at family gatherings, or those times when transition is a process and you can't separate immediately, such as when a child or children or a family home or finances are involved. But keep in mind that at these times, you need to honestly look at all your options. Also keeping in mind, it's then you who likely will make a choice and you who must take action. As they may not feel a need to change, may not want to change, or may not care to. The other person may also be completely ignorant or oblivious to the fact that they have caused you hurt, harm, pain, or suffering of any nature. And at times like these, we can look at detached empathy. If you are high on the empathetic scale, you may find it hard to not drop into hyper-empathetic mode and lose yourself for the sake of the relationship, or keep giving second chance after second chance to somehow keep it together. This can be for numerous reasons, such as from fear of failure, of not giving it your all, to not being kind or nice, and then you wouldn't be liked, or worse still, you might be talked about. We want you to be empathetic and empathize with others, but not to take responsibility and accountability for others' actions. Instead, your role is to be a witness or observer, while also coming back to yourself and your needs. And because this is so important, I want to explore a couple of ways you can do that. And one of the clearest ways is setting firm boundaries, which includes establishing and sustaining clear boundaries and consequences if these boundaries are not honored by both you and them. Boundaries are essential for you to feel a sense of control over your own sovereign being in a time of chaos or change. They are thus there to also make you feel more safe and secure, while at times also teaching the other accountability and the consequence for certain behavior. Self-care is also important. You need to look after yourself best you can, my friend, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Be comfortable with who you are. Work towards creating a sense of calm and of feeling centered. Being responsible for yourself and your actions, not for the other and their actions. Self-care may look like not answering text messages straight away when someone wants your attention immediately, though never otherwise reaches out to you. It may mean saying no thank you to an event if you do not want to be around certain people. It may mean speaking up or writing up a list of what is acceptable behavior in your marriage or partnership, and what will not be tolerated, agreeing to honor it like a sacred contract between you both. And then you need time and space. In times of transition or times where you are not sure what to do next or even how to make a change, you likely need some time and space. This is to sit with all your options. And it's something I encourage clients to do and something I've done myself in various situations, including relationships. And this time and space might mean asking for some time apart. It might mean seizing opportunity if someone's away for a time or you're not seeing them at the moment. But it's more than just an hour or so. Sometimes we can actually gain a lot of perspective and clarity if we give ourselves a solid block of time to really be. And for some of us, that is actually alone. But feel into it. See what's right for you. You may not want to spend a couple of days alone to go into this deep. You might just need a couple of hours right now. And that's fine too. Let's look at some scenarios for different relationships and how this would look like. Starting with, if this is a romantic relationship, you can ask yourself, what would it be like and how would I feel if I stay? And then how will that look and feel like if it's 6 months from now, I'm still here, we're still together, nothing has changed? Or if I leave now and fast forward 6 months ahead, what would it be like and how would I feel then? Are we both open to seeing someone to help us work through the challenges we face? What if we went to couples counseling, mediation, psychology? Is there another option? It's truly helpful to sit in the what if scenario of all your options and what would each option look like in the future, be that 6 months or a year's time. So ask yourself, what if we stay together and nothing changes? What if we stay together and both work on the relationship? And what if we don't stay together? Ask yourself these questions and project it into the future to try and sense how you feel, because the key is to feel what each option would truly feel like, to get a better idea of what you truly need, want, and are willing or ready to do. Really explore the realities of staying and continuing, leaving or exploring seeking counsel together. Perhaps in the form of what I offer individuals and couples with sacred guidance sessions. Take this time, sit in it, be honest, be real, listen to yourself. You may like to write this down also to better process and come back to it for reference. In this process, ensure you also sit with the reality of where you are now. Not just what was or what could be in a perfect ideal world, but right here, where you are now, at this point in time. Now, what about if it's someone in your family? Can you establish your own healthy boundaries? Times when you are available and times when you aren't. Unless it's a crisis, if you've had a big day or a week and aren't feeling up to hearing from them when they call, are you comfortable texting them later, saying you'll call them when you're next available? Depending on the situation and your relationship with your family member or members, you may choose to let them know you need your own space, or you may say nothing at all. They may not even notice your new availabilities. If you are always the yes person, or feeling like the relationship is not healthy for you in any way, you do not have to put yourself in harm's way. Honor your truth. Do what is right for you and for the greater good. That may mean less one-on-one time or no one-on-one time with someone in your family. But perhaps you make an effort to be kind and compassionate at family gatherings for a set time, then you may choose to leave and carry on with your other commitments or what you'd rather be doing that is more conducive to a healthy way of spending your time. Sit with your truth. What is right and what is for your best well-being, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. You can ask yourself, are you able to be around this person or people in your family just at set times or special occasions? And do your best to not take anything said or done personally. Can a friend or partner be with you at these occasions to support you? Can you work through a challenging interaction with a family member and not carry it into your other relationships? Or do you see it affecting other areas of your life and other personal relationships? You need to be honest with yourself. And what is okay with you? What are you comfortable with? What makes you feel safe, physically, emotionally, mentally? While we may or may not choose our family members, depending on what you believe, you can choose how and when you interact, along with what you accept and what you do not accept. As an adult, as a human being with sovereign rights, and as a soul with free will, you are entitled to make the right choices for you. And what about if it's a friendship that you're in that could be toxic? It doesn't have to be too dissimilar with friends and family. Some may even say you have less obligation. If someone was a friend and now they aren't there for you and instead it's all about them, or they have been cruel, lied, betrayed your trust, hurt you in any way, you can choose to bring this to their attention. You can see if they're open to talking about it. You can also choose to let it go. If you also need help in processing that, do not ignore that part. Or if it continues, you can then again ask yourself what is right for you here. Is this a true friendship? Is there give and take? Is there kindness, compassion, selflessness, trust, loyalty, love? Ask yourself, do I feel valued, seen, heard, respected? If the answer is no to any of these, you may need to reassess your relationship and choose to again speak about it or to let it fade and die out naturally, as often these relationships do when you're no longer putting in the effort and they are focusing or getting attention elsewhere. It can hurt just as much to feel like you are losing a friend, especially if you've shared special moments, big moments, life milestones, ups and downs of life and been there for each other. But everything has an end point, some sooner than others. Remind yourself when you create space, though, to let someone leave or let yourself let go, there is an opening for new beginnings. A friendship that is true, real, honest, and loving then has the space to come into your world and blossom, even in the most unexpected of places as well. What about if it's a colleague or work relationship? When it comes to work, there is a spectrum you need to assess. If this is something you can appropriately speak with them about, or is it something you can work on yourself and create as much distance as possible, learn not to take things personal and move on? Or do you need to involve upper management, HR, your boss, or even a fellow colleague for advice or intervention? There may be people you don't get along with in all walks of life. People who have different opinions, views, beliefs. That is one thing. But if sexual harassment, abuse, inappropriate, or any form of toxic behavior is going on in your place of work, it needs to be addressed for your well-being and likely the well-being of others. If you are feeling or experiencing something toxic with another, chances are others may have witnessed or experienced it too. All the more reason to bring this to the attention of the right people to help create the right change. And what is right for you here? What do you need to do to reach resolve, get help, move elsewhere, or create positive change? So when it comes to work, make sure you really do assess the entire spectrum and look at all your options and find out what's right for you and what is right for the greater good that needs to be done at a time like this. If you sit with it and give it some time and space, you will know what is right. Often when we have reached the point we know a relationship is toxic, it can be truly challenging, painful, and hard to end that relationship at times. We don't often embrace change. especially when we have invested our hearts and souls, time, money, effort, etc., into building and nurturing something. Or when there is history or good times, when there were moments of joy, it can make your decision questionable even. You might even rethink if you're doing the right thing. But I can't encourage you enough to take time, create space, sit with your truth, ask yourself big, difficult questions, and be honest with yourself in the here and now. You do know what is right for you and right for the greater good, be that both your well-being, well-being of your child or children, or for others involved around you in the environment. Life is not often easy. It is hiking into dark valleys and climbing up enormous mountains. Embracing this journey is how you learn and grow, knowing that often from the greatest hurt, pain, and suffering can come truth that leads to great rebirth, renewed love, joy. And may I say, joy is of the heart. Happiness is just of the personality. It's fleeting. So we're wanting joy here. And more than that, possibilities you may not have even dreamt of yet. In order for there to be change in a relationship, either both of you choose to commit to change and continue to work on the relationship, or you change, my friend, as you cannot make anyone change who doesn't want to or can't. If you are in a toxic relationship of any nature, please know there is guidance, help, and support available wherever you are. You are welcome to reach out to me at elise@stellamuse.com or find the right trusted professional support for you. And if you are in danger or harm, please also know you do not have to navigate this alone. Reach out, even to a trusted loved one, to help you and seek out the support you need. Toxic relationships aren't easy. Navigating what to do, how to work through them, what the next right step is, even from where you are right now, can be confusing or challenging or hard or hurtful. But you, as I have and as others do, we all have choices. Doesn't mean they're going to be easy to make, but they are there. So if nothing else from today, perhaps you just want to sit with some of those early questions. Tune in. Find out if you are in one of these relationships. And find out for you what is right and what needs to be done next. Breaking up with toxic relationships may seem like an ending to all endings, but it can also be a brilliant and luminous new beginning for you. If today spoke to you, then please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. And perhaps you know someone you care about, who's in a toxic relationship. Maybe send this to them too, to help them, make them feel supported and guided at this challenging time. If there's any way I can support your individual journey, whether that's breaking up with a toxic relationship or navigating your life path in your unique way, you're welcome to reach out to me at elise@stellamuse.com. Because as Maya Angelou said, when people show you who they really are, believe them. We can't live in a state of only hope or illusion our whole lives, a place of wishing and waiting, when we need to take care of ourselves and be in healthy relationships. So until next time, please take wonderful care of you and take wonderful care of all those relationships you're in, the ones that need to be nourished, the ones that need to be invested in, and the ones that aren't healthy, the ones that are potentially or are toxic. We're going to do some work on those. Either you and I together if you want to reach out, or you'll find the right person in the time and space to do that for yourself. But it's important, my friend. For now, I look forward to reconnecting with you next time, right here on Sacred Guidance with Stella Muse. Mwah.